From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, North Korea slams Japan's push to revise its pacifist constitution. The trade representative says no new immediate U.S. chip tariffs expected. And new Fed chair Kevin Warsh stresses independence. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Alana Hill. North Korea has criticized Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi and the ruling Liberal Democratic Party for pushing to revise Japan's pacifist constitution and clarify the legal status of the self-defense forces. In an article published Saturday, the North's ruling party newspaper Rodong Shinmun called the moves militaristic and reckless behavior. The paper claimed the efforts are aimed at reviving Imperial Japan's past ambitions of conquering Asia. It also pointed to Japan's increased defense spending and planned revisions to three major security documents aimed at strengthening defense capabilities. The newspaper described Japan as being tightly bound to what it called the United States chain of war, while deepening military ties with NATO. It warned there is no guarantee Japan would not return to a path of aggression against neighboring countries. Rodong Shinmun also claimed Japan's ruling forces have long tried to take advantage of what it described as international tolerance in order to revive militarism. U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer says no new immediate U.S. tariffs were expected to be imposed on semiconductors, but that it would be important to protect the sector with duties to help revive domestic production. According to Reuters on Friday, Greer made the remarks while attending an event at Micron Technology Memory Chip Plant near Washington. The trade official said though having tariffs on semiconductors is really important, what is more important is that the duties are levied at the right timing and in the right amount. Greer's comments were an apparent reference to sectoral duties that may be imposed in accordance with national security investigations under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962. In January, U.S. President Donald Trump issued a proclamation imposing a 25% tariff on AI chips imported into the U.S. and subsequently re-exported to other countries. Kevin Warsh officially took office as the new chair of the U.S. Federal Reserve on Friday, local time. Warsh stressed the Fed's independence and the need for reform during his swearing-in ceremony at the White House. He said the Fed's mission is to promote price stability and maximum employment. Warsh added that inflation would fall and growth would stay strong if the Fed pursued its goals with independence and resolve. He also pledged to lead a reform-oriented Federal Reserve. Analysts say the remarks were aimed at easing concerns that the Fed could be influenced by President Donald Trump's pressure for interest rate cuts. Trump said he hoped Warsh would remain completely independent and simply do the job well. The comments contrasted with Trump's past public attacks on former Fed Chair Jerome Powell over interest rates. Warsh will serve a four-year term and chair his first Federal Open Market Committee meeting next month. Markets are closely watching whether Warsh will follow the Fed's independent policy direction despite pressure from the White House. During his Senate confirmation hearing, Warsh also stressed that monetary policy decisions should be based on the Fed's own judgment. Former Fed Chair Jerome Powell will remain on the Fed's Board of Governors. South Korea's ruling Democratic Party is pushing to raise the rank of the head of the Korea Immigration Service to the vice minister level as the number of foreigners in the country approaches 3 million. According to legal and parliamentary sources on Saturday, Democratic Party lawmaker Choi Hyun-il and other lawmakers proposed revisions to the Government Organization Act. The proposed changes would require the head of the Immigration Office under the Justice Ministry to hold vice ministerial rank. The bill also calls for the Justice Ministry to have two vice ministers. In addition, the proposal seeks to separate the Korea Correctional Service from the ministry and establish it as an independent agency under the Justice Minister. Che said the growing scope and responsibility of immigration policy requires a higher level of expertise and faster policy response capabilities within the ministry.
You're now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
A Chinese daily has suggested that Seoul-Beijing relations could improve after President Lee Jae-myung dismissed recent South Korean media reports about Chinese nationals buying up apartments in Seoul's affluent Gangnam district as fake news. China's state-run English daily Global Times said on Saturday that experts in China have positively assessed Lee's strong stance against false information and incitement of anti-Chinese sentiment. Jeanne Daebin, director of the Center for Korean Peninsula Studies at the Shanghai University of International Business and Economics, told the Daily that unlike his predecessors, Lee has taken a more forceful and frequent stance against anti-China rhetoric in South Korea. South Korean media had previously reported that Chinese nationals had purchased 944 apartment units sold by multiple homeowners in Seoul's affluent Gangnam area just before the reinstatement of a heavy transfer tax. On Wednesday, Lee denounced such reports on X as fake news aimed at inciting anti-China sentiment in the country and said between January and April there were only five of such collective property purchases by Chinese nationals in the Gangnam area. The 11th Review Conference of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, or NPT, ended Friday at UN headquarters in New York without adopting a final consensus document. Member states failed to bridge differences over regional nuclear issues involving North Korea and Iran, as well as nuclear disarmament obligations. The failure marks the third consecutive collapse of a final agreement following the 2015 and 2022 review conferences. One of the biggest sticking points was a proposed clause calling for a stronger implementation and transparency measures on nuclear disarmament by nuclear weapon states, which drew opposition from nuclear powers. In the final stage of negotiations, all references to North Korea's nuclear program and the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula were removed from the draft document. South Korea's deputy ambassador to the UN, Kim Sang-jin, expressed deep regret that the conference failed to include even a brief message on North Korea. He said the document should have reaffirmed the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and stressed that North Korea can never be recognized as a nuclear weapon state under the NPT. The conference chair described the collapse as disastrous for the credibility of the global non-proliferation regime. The World Health Organization has raised the risk level of the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo from high to very high, warning that the outbreak is spreading rapidly. At a press briefing in Geneva on Friday, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said the updated risk assessment applies to the DR Congo at the national level, while the risk remains high for regional spread and low globally. On X on Friday, the WHO chief said that out of 82 confirmed cases in the DR Congo, 7 have succumbed to the disease, and the number of suspected cases has risen to approximately 750, with 177 suspected deaths. In neighbouring Uganda, the situation was assessed as stable, with one death among 2 confirmed cases. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Alana Hill.